your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Well, we're going to look a little bit tonight at the particular thing here in the Psalms, on Psalm 42. Something that really spoke to me and something that speaks to me every time I read. I like reading through the book of Psalms. Now, I don't know if you make that a regular practice or not. The book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs, they're set up just perfect for you to read through on a monthly basis. You really ought to think about doing that. Because the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs have so much wisdom, have so much encouragement to you. Those are the places that you might want to start. And if you've never read your Bible before, that would be a great place to start with your daily Bible readings in those two different books. The book of Psalms is set up in so many different ways. It's actually set up in several different books. And we'll start here in chapter 42. And in chapter 42 actually starts the second book of Psalms, if you were keeping up with it that way. And it's different things that are going on. And if you look in the book of Psalms, some of the Psalms have written there at the very top a title. And at the top of each of those chapters where you see the title, sometimes they give you information about who wrote the psalm. What's the psalm written for? About the period of time that the psalm was written. And it kind of gives you a little bit of the history that goes along with it. Now, I'm going to have to say that in Psalm 42, it does not give us an author. But that's okay. There's been several suggestions who it might be. You know, the book of Psalms was written mostly by David. We see a lot of them. But we see some by Solomon. We see some by Moses. We see some by Asaph. And so we don't know exactly who wrote this psalm, but it really doesn't matter who wrote it. Because we know that it was the inspired word of God, and we know who it was written to and what it was written for. Look what it says in the very top part, just before we ever get to it. It says, to the chief musician. Can I tell you, Brother Mike, this is written to the choir director. And what's so interesting is it says it's a maskil for the sons of Korah, so it's written also for the choir. So this is a musical psalm. We already see that that's about to happen right here. Now, you might hear a lot of preachers say, hey, you know, I'm just preaching to the choir here. Well, that's exactly what we're doing here. Because the people that need to hear God's word the most, the people that need to be encouraged by God's words the most, are God's people. Yes, we want to preach the gospel to everyone who's out there. We want to see people get saved. We want to preach the gospel so that people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, the people of God need to be exhorted. And Psalm 42 is one of those things. It's one of those psalms that brings it together to exhort us. Now let me just start right here where it says, Psalms 42, beginning in verse 1, it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remembered these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you've given us your word. That you've given us just a piece of your mind that might help us to grow and to understand more about you. God, I pray as we look at this psalm tonight, I pray as we look at your words, that there would be nothing in my words that might persuade men, because that's not what I'm after. God, I'm here to preach your word. Oh, Lord, even if it were to make an embarrassment of me, God, that your word would be exalted tonight. It's what I'm all about. Now, God, I pray that as we look into this, you would draw people's hearts unto you. You would draw their attention unto you. And, God, I pray that maybe someone here tonight might be helped by your words of encouragement. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when we look and we see that this psalm was written by someone to the chief musician and to the sons of Korah, we want to look and see why it was written. I said it was a maskil. Now, Some of you who are familiar with Bible terms might understand what that means. A maskil was something that was a song or a psalm that was given for instruction or for teaching. And as we see that this psalm is a maskil, then we know that it has something to teach us. We know that there is some kind of message in this, which there's some kind of message in every word of God that we can learn from. You know, I've sat there sometimes and I've read my Bible and I thought, how in the world can this be a blessing unto me? And maybe you've done the same thing. You get stuck over there in the book of Leviticus and you're going, all these laws, what does all this mean? You know, and you're sitting there eating your barbecue sandwich at the same time where you're trying to figure out why God's people aren't supposed to be eating pork. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the stench along with it. That's what I've got, three of them. But can I tell you, even in the driest parts of God's Word, even in the parts where you don't think you're going to get anything out of it, God can give you a blessing. He may be using just those verses for you to be able to talk to someone else later. All right? So make sure when you're reading God's Word, you never take it for just being nothing. I've sat there many mornings and I've read my Bible where I felt like it was out of duty. And I felt like, well, if I can just get through these three chapters, I'm good for the day. But can I tell you, when I've done that, I've got nothing out of God's Word. I've had to go back and read those three chapters again. Because God wants us to spend quality time with Him, not quantity time. So no matter how many chapters a day, no matter how many verses a day, spend it in quality time with God. Ask God to just show you something, give you something from this. Look at this, what it says. It says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. Now, the heart is deer. Okay? That's what we think about. When we think about a deer that's been running, been chased through the woods maybe by something, and is just desiring for a cool drink from the brook. Let me give you a little story. When I was hunting one time, I like to hunt. I don't get to go very often anymore, but I love to hunt. And I was down hunting on a piece of property down in Oconee County, almost in Greene County. And I was sitting there in my stand. I think it was even a Thanksgiving morning. And I was sitting there in my deer stand. And, man, I heard the loudest crashing I'd ever heard in my life coming through the woods. I thought a 600-pound squirrel was running by. I mean, it was just through. You could hear it coming through the leaves and stuff. I thought, what in the world is it? And I turned around to my left. And just as I turned around, I saw a deer running. For all it was worth. And it ran down through there. And I kept hearing something running behind. I thought, what in the world is chasing this thing? And as the deer ran down and went across the creek, two dogs came running by me. Now, in this part of the country, dogs are not supposed to chase deer when you're out there hunting. And so my first reaction was, I'll shoot them dogs. Then my second thought was, maybe they'll turn him around and run him back up this way. But as they ran down through there, I mean, that poor deer, looked like if he could just stop for a minute and get a drink of water. Because he was just panting as he ran by, tongue hanging out. You know how you see a dog panting? That's what it looked like. And as they ran down, they crossed the creek. The dogs ran down across the creek. A few minutes later, I saw that deer coming back up through there. And I guess because now he had run by me one time, brother, and had come back by, he had finally caught a glimpse of me. And it looked up there in that deer stand. And it looked at me as if to say, please help me. So I did. I shot him. But what I want you to see here is that deer, he was thirsty. Man, he needed help. And I just wanted to oblige. But I couldn't get down and give him a glass of water. He wouldn't have held for that, you know. But there was a thirst that was there. And if we look at what this psalmist is saying, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You know, sometimes we get into areas in our life, we get into times in our lives that we're just dry. And we're just thirsty. And all we desire to have that cool drink from the Word of God. Oh, how we need it. And as we look into this psalm, we're going to see something about this particular person that the psalmist is writing about. And we see that there is a thirst that is there, but not only a thirst, but look, it says in verse 2, or in verse 3, a hunger that's there. Look what it says. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they were continually saying to me, where is thy God? Tears and sorrow is what the psalmist was feeding on. things were going on in his life that were causing sorrowful things to be happening to him. And he needed meat. He needed, because he hungered. Any of you guys ever been hungry? Some of you guys are probably going, I'm hungry right now. I am too. But can I tell you, when you get really, really hungry, there is nothing that satisfies more than just a little bit of meat. Now, I like vegetables. I'm a vegetable person. But if I eat vegetables forever, I start thinking, man, oh, for a piece of chicken. Look, this psalmist says, hey, I'm hungry, and the only thing I can feed on is my sorrows. The only thing I can feed on is my tears. He has gotten to a place where circumstances have become so big in his life, he has forgotten to be feeding on the Word of God. Look what it says here. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night, and they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Have you ever gotten to a point where you just think, God, where are you? All these things that are going on in my life, where are you? And you know what's happening right there? You're focused on the circumstances. You're feeding on the circumstances and not on God. You're not depending on God to fulfill the desires, the thirsting, the hungering in your heart, because you're too busy looking at the circumstances. Can I tell you, when circumstances come down on you, when things get hard in life, if you don't turn from those things and focus on God, you'll lose sight of God. Listen to what the psalmist said. He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul. He had forgotten some things. He had a need for worship. Now look. The psalmist was written here and said, these things I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. He had been to the house of God. He remembered going to the house of God. He remembered worshiping with people, but something was keeping him from worshiping. Now, in this particular case, it probably was a distance. It was probably something that was hindering him from being able to go to the house of God. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, we live in the United States of America. There's nothing that hinders us from going to the house of God. But can I tell you, you can go to the house of God and still hunger. You can go and you can hunger because you've gotten so involved in the circumstance that you forget where you are. Maybe it's bondage that keeps you from being able to worship. You know, I can tell you, as a teenager, I was in church every Sunday. Every Sunday. I never missed Sunday morning, Sunday night. But can I tell you, I was living a life of sin. Nothing that I heard in that church was even sinking into my head. Because I was too busy worried about the circumstances. I was too busy worried about the things that I was filling my own life with and forgetting what God wanted in my life. But can I tell you, the psalmist here said, hey, I remember a time that I went and I remember the joy and the praise that we had. And I can say that when I was 30 years old, I actually walked in. I was sitting right around there about where Mike is sitting right now. And I heard the Word of God again. And it revived in my heart. And it said, hey, brother, you need to have your thirst and your hunger provided for. You need to get back into God's Word. You need to come back. And on broken knees, I walked up here to this altar and did that. And can I tell you, life has not been perfect ever since. But I know where to come and get my nourishment. And if I don't keep myself clean, And that doesn't mean if I, because I can tell you, I'm a sinner just like everyone else. But if I'll come to God and say, God, forgive me. I messed that up. God says, hey, I can provide. I've got water for you when you get thirsty. I've got meat for you when you get hungry. I remember these things. In verse 5, he says, but why art you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? See, when we don't come to God and clean ourselves up, not clean ourselves, but allow God to cleanse us. Because he says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we fail to get to that point, then we end up in a despair in our lives. And as we have this despair, we get cast down. Our countenance is down. I've heard so many people say, well, you know, I just don't let things bother me. And I like to try and think that I'm that way too. But it's easy to see when we read through Scripture that even when we think we're hiding things, we're not hiding things. We're not hiding them from ourselves, and we're certainly not hiding them from God. As a matter of fact, right off in the Bible, if you go back to the very beginning of it, in the book of Genesis, God looks at Cain and he says, why is thy countenance fallen? And nobody in the world knew that he had killed his brother. But God knew it. And he looked at him and he could see it in his face. When Nehemiah was struggling with what he was going to do as far as being able to go back to Jerusalem, and he was thinking all these things, the king, Artaxerxes, said, why are you sad, Nehemiah? Seeing you're not sick. Why is your countenance down? He could see it in his face. And trust me, if you've got things going on, God sees it. No matter how much you wipe your face, no matter how much you put that smile on, God knows it. And as that happens and we start sinking into despair and we our countenance is cast down, we go deeper and deeper into a cycle. We don't come back and say, hey, God, help me. Even though the turmoil is there, that's what it means when it says a disquieted spirit. Our spirit is in turmoil. It's in wreckage. It's like that train crash that just happened. It's where our lives are. And it makes us where we're hard to think. How do we think clearly when we've got so much going on in our minds? When things are so noisy around us? We just get deeper and deeper in despair. And can I tell you, that's the exact place that Satan wants you. And you know what he says? Where's thy God? Oh, I thought you were a Christian. I thought God was your dependence. Where's your God now? Things are going bad. And our countenance gets down and people start looking at us and going, man, I thought they were a Christian. And it's easy for us to spiral down further and further and further. Can I tell you, God says, hey, come to me. All ye that labor, I'll give you rest. When things start spiraling out of control, when despair starts going on there, then you need to take the last action here that the psalmist wrote, because he makes a declaration. Look what he says. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Listen, hope thou in God. See, he makes a declaration right here. He says, hey, you know what? I know things are bad, but you know what? My hope is in God. Now, that doesn't mean that I hope God fixes things. This is a hope that's a knowledge that God's gonna do it. My hope is in the Lord, is the song we sing. everything about us, knowing that God will work. Listen to what he says as he makes this declaration. My hope thou is in God. I shall. That's pretty definite. He says, I shall. You know what that is? That's a working of the will. When you say, I shall do something, that means you're taking your will and saying, I'm going to do this. And he says, not only I shall, he says, that I shall praise. I'm going to sing. I'm going to praise the Lord with everything there is. You know, the hardest thing for us to do is when we're in trouble, when things are going bad, is just say, praise the Lord. We want to look and say, well, what can I do to get out of this? What can I say? Who can I go to? What can I do? And God says, hey, just praise me. The psalmist says, I shall praise. I'm going to give credit to the one who deserves the credit. I shall praise, and I shall praise who? I shall praise Him. The one who I know is in charge of this working. See, we can say all day long as we work our, as our will begins to do this, and as our heart begins to do this, if we don't trust God, nothing changes. I shall is working the will. I'll praise is the working of the heart. But Him is the knowledge of the one who does the working. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall praise Him for the help of His countenance. We were talking about countenance just a little bit ago. About it being cast down. About our own countenance being down. But look who the psalmist is looking at now. He's looking into the face of God. Now, can I ask you a question? When things are bothering you, when things are troubling you, when things are just out of control in your life, do you seek the face of God? That's what the psalmist did here. Now, if you continue to read through the Psalms, you'll see that again in verse 11, his soul's cast down again. You'll see more circumstances have taken on. If you continue on over into chapter 43, the last verse in chapter 43, why art thou cast down? Look. Turn to God. In your troubles, in your despairs, and guess what? It's going to happen again. But turn to God in your troubles and despair and praise Him again. Always look unto God. We sing that song, I'm looking unto Jesus. Can I tell you? So often we lose track of that and look unto ourselves. It's so easy for us to try and figure out what we need to do. Hey, I'm in a financial bind right now. What can I sell? What can I do? Can I tell you, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You'll never be able to earn that kind of money. Oh, well, you know, we're having car problems and everything. You know what? God knows our problems. And He's just waiting to answer. If we'll just turn to Him. If we'll just look to Him and say, God, you know these problems, they're bigger than I am. I've got no finances to take care of this car issue. You're going to have to do that for me. You know what? God can provide. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you, hey, this is not the prosperity gospel that I'm preaching here. I'm not saying, hey, you just depend on God and He'll take care of all your finances. God will give you what you need, not what you want. You can want a Cadillac all day long, but you may need a bicycle. I know that feeling. You know, you may need to walk. But you've got to trust God. You've got to trust Him, and when He gives you that bicycle, you say, well, praise the Lord. I heard a preacher tell a story one time about he was an evangelist, and he needed a new car. The car he was in was just wore out. Had a million miles on it. He was driving this thing everywhere he went. And so he began to pray, God, give me a new car. God, give me a new car. Well, he ended up preaching in a meeting with another evangelist somewhere, and he looked over there, and lo and behold, that guy's car was worse than his. And he thought, nobody in the world could have a car worse than mine unless they had a buggy with no horse. But that guy's car was on its last leg. I mean, the tires were bald. It just couldn't make it any further. And he thought, you know what? I'm going to start praying for that guy to get a new car. He'd been praying for his own car, and he decided, I'm going to start praying for that guy. He needs one worse than I do. And so he began praying for that other preacher. Lo and behold, that other preacher, that other evangelist, he saw him at another meeting, had a brand new car. Well, guess what? Now his heart was down. Well, doggone. He gave him a new car because I prayed for it. I've been praying for a new car. I didn't get a new car. And all of a sudden, he realized the selfishness that was in that. See, he was going, God, I need this, I need this. But he realized it was more of a, God, I want this, I want this. But when he saw someone else's need and began to pray for that need, and God provided for that need, then he got a little jealous of it. But then he had to go, you know what? Praise the Lord. He answered my prayer. That evangelist got a new car. And so he began to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, God, for that you answered that prayer. And guess what? He ended up at the very next meeting he was at. The pastor of the church said, you know, we got this car that's sitting over in our carport that we don't ever drive. It's not a new one, but it runs good. Would that help you in your ministry? He said, praise the Lord. Absolutely. See, he didn't get the new car that he had prayed for, but he got a good car that he needed. And another evangelist got a car that he needed. Because of his prayer. Can I tell you, sometimes we get so twisted around and we get so discouraged and we get such in despair that when things start happening, when blessings start falling, we get confused. But if we'll praise Him and bring glory to His name, the blessings will pour out. I got into a situation one time when we were financially strapped. I'd lost my job. We didn't know how we were going to pay bills. We didn't know how we was going to buy groceries. We didn't know what was going on. And I was praying, oh, Lord, we need help. Help us, Lord. I was crying out. I'd sit in my car at night and I'd cry out. And I'd go out to the mailbox and there, lo and behold, there'd be a check from somebody that had said, you know, I just thought you might need this, $50. And I go, oh, thanks a lot, Lord. We're still in such trouble. You know, $50 didn't help. You know, I wasn't even thinking of the praise that was going on, that I should have been going on with. My mom's freezer, of all things, died. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, Lord, my mom's freezer died. What's that going to do? You know what it did? It filled our refrigerator full of food because she had to get stuff out of her freezer. We didn't have to buy groceries that week. All of a sudden, we had a whole turkey that had thawed out. I had to cook that thing, brother. Vegetables that had been in the freezer, I had to do something with them. Oh, my goodness. We probably ate better that week than we'd ever eaten. But you know what? My thinking was so twisted around. I was like, Lord, we're in such trouble. And then you go and do something like that to mom. Excuse me, pass the bread. You know, I'm not even thinking. Where God's blessed me. It's so easy for us to get in that look. That's what the psalmist said. Hey, he said, I remember these things. Listen, when things start falling apart, when things start going downhill, when things are where you just don't understand them anymore, guess what? Praise God. You might be riding in your car going, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. For whatever comes. Amen. I can't tell you how many people in Athens probably think I'm the craziest man alive because I've sat there in my car and just sang, sang, sang. Praise the Lord. Don't be confused when the blessings come. Just look on His face. Now, you may be here tonight and you may say, Brother Ricky, you just don't know the situation I'm in. And you're absolutely right. And to be honest with you, I probably don't want to know the situation you're in. But can I tell you there's somebody who does know? and somebody who wants to know. God already knows your problems, but it sure is nice for Him to hear you say, Lord, I may be in this problem because I messed it up. Forgive me. And you may be here tonight and you may say, Brother Ricky, I just don't see any application of this at all, but I can tell you right now, this psalmist spoke to me in so many different ways because I have one of those disquieted spirits at times. I have that downfallen countenance at times, and I know you do too. But I can tell you, God is waiting for us to look into His face. And if you're here tonight and you've never looked into the face of Jesus Christ and said, Lord, save me, then maybe that's where we start. Maybe that's how you say, God, there's all kinds of things going on in my life, but the worst thing that can happen to me right now is for me to die because I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. Can I tell you, the Bible says these things are written that you may know you have eternal life. And if you will take the time to come forward when we give the invitation tonight and say, I need to know for sure that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. Brother Brinson's here tonight. Nothing would please him more than take his Bible and open it up and show you how you can be saved. I'd love to take my Bible and show you how you can be saved. There's other men. There's ladies. There are women in this church who would love to take their Bible, open it up and say, let me show you how you can know. And if you're here tonight and you don't know, don't leave not knowing. And if you're here tonight and you do know that you're not saved, then do something about it. Maybe your soul is panting after that. Maybe you just have a desire and need to be saved. We stand on our feet. I'll ask every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. We'll let our musicians come down and get ready for the invitation time tonight. Where are you at tonight? Are you lost? Do you need the Savior tonight? Then please do not hesitate. Make a beeline for this altar tonight. You don't know whether you're saved or not? Don't hesitate. Make a beeline for this altar tonight. Let us show you how you can know. Or maybe there's just problems. Maybe there's just things going on in your life. Can I tell you? Look into the countenance of God's face tonight. Let Him quiet that disquieted spirit. Let Him comfort those who need it.